Now, I find an interesting fact of life that is common in all generations, in all races, in all everything, and that is babies are something special. I can never forget what it was like to see my four children as they were born. To see that little child emerge into the world is something really special. It's that feeling and experience that nothing else can quite match. Of course, the birth of grandchildren and great-grandchildren is also exciting, but there's a special feeling each time you actually witness that amazing miracle of birth. There's just something captivating about this new life. The innocence and the dependence of that small young life strikes at our emotions. We look at their little fingers, we laugh as they yawn, we're amazed as they try to walk, and we're so proud of their first spoken word. Let's face it, babies do strange things to us. It's truly amazing. You could take a perfectly mature adult and put them in front of a baby, and they'll do some very unusual things or become very strange. They begin to talk silly. They'll twist their face into all sorts of contortions, and they make funny faces at the baby, faces they would never make at another adult, just to try and get the baby to look at them and smile. Let's face it, we're hooked on babies. Perhaps that's one of the reasons that the Christmas affects us the way it does. Perhaps it's the cuteness of a new baby. Of course, the story of shepherds and wise men and stars and angels adds a special appeal to Christmas. But the fascination with birth, fresh new life, innocence, and a little human being that's almost toy-like is also marvellous. There are promises from God, hope in the air, and there are messages of joy. But there's a mystery here as well, a baffling mystery. We cannot imagine what it meant for the eternal God, who created the cosmos and all the life which is in it, to become a helpless infant. It stretches the mind beyond its limits. And it's easier for us to think of a child of promise in the cradle than it is for us to imagine the Christ, who is God and rules in heaven, being born into the world. We understand babies, but we don't understand God becoming a baby. We like cute, but we're a bit to avoid profound mystery. We prefer to think of the crib rather than the cross. And the world likes to think about a child born on earth rather than Christ's return to earth. Somehow, his helplessness appeals to us much more than his omnipotence and his deity. And it's good to enjoy the charm of Christmas, but we also have to grow up to understand the mystery of Christmas. We have to mature and understand the importance of what was really going on. We have to allow Christ to grow up as well. He can't stay forever a baby. So we need to grow up in our faith so that we realise who Christ is. The Bible encourages in Ephesians 4 verse 15 that in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Christmas is a wonderful thing. It's a good beginning. But at some point in time we have to let Jesus out of the cradle. We have to allow him to grow up, and we must grow up with him. We have to go on from thinking of him as a baby and understand that he is God, who came and wrapped himself in human flesh for a time. We have to go from wonder to worship. We have to understand that there's more to the story than a baby in a stable. In that cradle lay the hope of ages. In that animal stall was the salvation of the world. And the story about a child being born is true and it's wonderful. But we have to go beyond being charmed by it and go on to being changed by it. We have to see beyond the tradition and be transformed. We have to go beyond the admiration of a child to the adoration of a saviour. Yes. You do not truly understand Christmas until you find yourself on your knees in worship. If Christmas was only a baby being born, Well, there is the temporary joy of a new birth. But if it was God coming into the world, then that's an everlasting joy that doesn't fade with the passing of time. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, that we have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you. This then is truly good news.
Yes.
It's a real hope, and therefore life can... I've lost it. Just think among yourselves while I find it again. Off we go. Right. This then is truly good news. It's real hope, and therefore life can be eternally different. For many years, the prophets claimed that a child would be born to save the world. They said he would bear the stamp and the very image of God. They called him Emmanuel, God with us. However, only God is to be worshipped. But even as an infant, Jesus was worshipped. The shepherds came and they worshipped because angels from heaven came and told them of the child who would come from heaven. The wise men came, bowing and worshipping and bringing offerings to the true king whom heaven had guided them to. Throughout Christ's life, we see him accepting worship from people. We see men and women constantly kneeling before him. There was a cleansed leper in Matthew 8, a ruler of the synagogue in Matthew 9, a man whose sight was restored in John 9, even a demon-possessed man in Mark 5. The other people of the Bible would never accept someone worshipping them. For instance, when Paul and Barnabas were in the region of Galatia, he healed a man by the power of God, whom everyone knew had been lame from birth. When the people saw that what Paul had done, they shouted, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Then they began to offer sacrifices to Paul. But Paul tore his clothes in anguish and rushed out into the crowd to stop them, saying, "Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men." But Jesus never refused worship. The night that Jesus walked on the water through the storm and got into the boat of the disciples, they fell at his feet worshipping him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And Jesus accepted their worship. After the resurrection, Jesus appeared to the women who had gone to the tomb. When they recognized him, they fell at his feet and worshipped him. At the ascension, as Jesus was being taken to heaven, he allowed the disciples to worship him. Now the point is that either Jesus had a tremendous ego, or he was indeed God, who was not only worthy of worship, but be worshipped by his creation. Jesus was more than a child, and we need to allow him to come out of the cradle. But neither was he just a great man, for he was God. And only God deserves worship. And he is indeed worthy of our worship and praise, for he is the God who came to earth and paid the ultimate sacrifice that our sins might be forgiven. But secondly, we need to grow up in our faith so that we understand how God works. When we come to God, we have to understand that he's like no other and he's beyond our control. We can fight God or surrender to God. When we fight with God, we always lose. But when we surrender to God, we always end up the winner.
Yes.
We can demand that God do things our way, or we can accept his way, knowing that Jesus Christ can even redeem our suffering. But if we're going to understand God, we cannot stay at a childish place in our faith. We must grow up in our understanding of how God works. In Jude chapter 1, Jude tells us, "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life." The third point is that we need to see... I'm going to have to get myself a new one of these. The third point is that we need to grow up in our faith so that we know what God requires. Christ is going to come out of the cradle and into your life, then you have to understand that God does not merely ask for a polite nod on a Sunday. His demands are total. He doesn't ask for a place in your life. He asks for your entire life. However, in our culture, we're doing our best to exclude him from as much of our life as possible. Yet again, this year, we've seen those who want all signs and symbols of religious significance removed from the public and government properties across the nation. So the stables and the many town hall lawns are missing this season. Even in our own town of Barnsley, we find that the traditional Christmas lights in the town are now called the Winter Lights Festival. At the time of Jesus' birth, there was no room for him at the inn. Today, we won't even let him in the stable. The pagans want our holiday without realizing that it's a holy day. They want the cuteness of Christmas without the Christ of Christmas. They want the baby, but not the king. They love the gifts of men, but they reject the gift of God. They'll accept the tinsel, but not the truth. They want to wonder of the season without the worship of the Saviour. Yeah. It's politically incorrect to say Merry Christmas, so now we say season's greetings or Happy Holiday. It appears that to many people, Christ has become the ghost of Christmas past. But God requires that we not only understand whose holiday it is, but we also allow the king who was born in the stable to be the king of our lives. When Jesus came, he laid claim to the world and to our lives as well. We love the fact that Jesus' birth has given us a season of gift-giving, feasting and celebration. But the world has failed to recognize that it's a season of worship. This is the time to recognize what God really has done and who Christ really is. In many stores at this time of the year, you can see a lot of Christmas decorations without ever having the slightest clue that the season has anything to do with Christ. Many homes across the nation will celebrate Christmas once again without any mention or love of Christ, though for others may still be a sentimental feeling for the Madonna and the child. But for this season to mean what it's supposed to mean, we have to go beyond decoration to dedication. We have to go beyond sentiment to surrender, surrendering to the God who has chosen to come to our world. Yeah. If he's not Emmanuel, then our worship is idolatry. But if he is who he claims to be, then he deserves our praise, our worship, and our obedience. He deserves our all. The world always tries to take the sacred and make it profane. It sees the humanity of Christ but fails to accept his deity. It wants to keep Christ in the cradle. Because of that all-important fact, we sometimes have to get beyond the trimmings and the tradition and get back to the truth and reality of the season. Somehow we have to go beyond a counterfeit Christmas and get Christ out of the stable and into our hearts. We have to get him out of the cradle and onto the throne. We have to go from thinking of him as a cute baby to thinking of him as a king. Christmas is more than being charmed by a child. Its real meaning is saying yes to God. I heard of a Christmas play in a primary school. All the children in the junior school were excited about Christmas for weeks, and they'd been memorizing songs for the school's winter pageant. Well, it would have been inappropriate to call it a Christmas play. Some of the parents went to the dress rehearsal in the morning and sat on the floor with the other parents. And the pupils were led into the room, and each group rose at their appointed time to perform their song. Because of how conscious the school was of avoiding any mention of the real meaning of Christmas, the parents only expected songs about reindeer, Santa Claus, snowflakes, and good cheer. But when one class rose to sing, they were surprised to see that their song was entitled Christmas Love. The children were excited, as were the parents. The children were fitted out with fuzzy mittens, red sweaters, and bright snow caps, and the children in the front row held up large letters, one by one, to spell out the title of the song. As the class sang, C is for Christmas, a child would hold up the letter C, then H is for happy, and so on, until each child held up his or her letter to complete the message. Can we have the first slide, Stephen? Christmas Love. Everything was going smoothly until the shy little girl on the front row held her letter upside down. Instead of holding up M, she held it so it appeared to be W. The adults smiled and the children from the other class began to laugh. She'd no idea why they were looking at her so intently and smiling, so she stood tall and proud and displayed her W. The teachers tried to shush the children, but the laughter continued until the last letter was raised. Then a hush came over the audience and the people stared in wonder as they saw the sign. And we have the second slide. Christ was love. Instead of Christmas love, it read, Christ was love. There in that moment, the Christ of Christmas made his message known. Out of the chaos and secularization of his birth, Christ the King came out of the cradle to announce the reason why he came. Have no fear. All is well. For all the unbelief in the world cannot stop the message that the God of love has come to us at Christmas. He is our Emmanuel. He is God with us. Truly, God is with us. Amen. Amen.